beautiful soul being, welcome to the Connecting Soul Beings podcast, offering you, the animal lover, information, tips and learning on soul-to-soul connection, animal communication, self-leadership and all things spiritual. We will help you tune into the language of animals and the soul, inspiring you to gain a deep intuitive understanding of yourself and the animals. You become more connected, feelings of love and empowerment so that you experience harmony and joy. True soul-to-soul connection. Welcome to episode 4 of the Connecting Soul Being podcast. My name is Bianca De Roost and I am your host. And today I am extremely excited to introduce you to Sarah and Christopher from Soul in Wonder. It is a wonderful, raw, authentic and inspiring episode where we dig deep into conversation around healing, trauma, being in flow, letting go, working together in harmony, and also discovering who we truly are as a conscious creator with a true heart's desire and serving the world from that place. Now, Sarah and Christopher are husband and wife based in the US, and they are self-empowerment coaches, mind-body wellness experts. They are also the host of Soul in Wonder podcast and the founders of Soul in Wonder, a conscious multimedia platform that supports truth seekers in their personal and spiritual growth. Now, I'd love to share a little bit about their background. After surviving a violent sexual assault while serving as a volunteer in Africa, Sarah had to pick up the pieces to her life. And Christopher followed his heart and decided to trade a cozy corporate job for a volunteer life of isolation and poverty because he was yearning to get more out of his life. Now, after a series of synchronistic events, Sarah and Christopher met while serving as Peace Corps volunteers in Tanzania in Africa. Shaken by the realities of life and inspired to make a positive impact on the world around them, they realized true transformation isn't possible until one goes within, so they committed to an ever-evolving state of self-discovery and awareness. By reinforcing their own integrity, they have devoted their lives to the evolution of human consciousness. As hosts and founders of Soul in Wonder, they are on a mission to ignite the human spirit and inspire new ways of conscious, connected living. Through the power of self-exploration, they support truth seekers worldwide on their journey of personal transformation and spiritual growth. I invite you to listen to this wonderful conversation. We start off by talking about how we evolve as humans, but also how we evolve as servers of the world. Both Christopher and Sarah, they serve us, they serve everybody around the globe, and so do I. And so we start a conversation off by explaining how we evolve by helping you to truly go within, to finding your true self, and how we actually learn from that process to help people more around the earth. It's a fun conversation as well, and I can't be more excited to get you to listen to these two amazing, wise, and loving souls. So sit back, relax, grab a cup of your favorite beverage, and enjoy the ride. It's interesting because the work that we do, it's very much about just tuning in all the time, right? And then just allowing everything else to come through in terms of what is required to do. So it's forever evolving.
And that's the exciting thing about it, I think. I think a lot of people get stuck in one idea or one way of doing things, and they're not able to be flexible and to pivot to what it is their soul is telling them. Because, you know, it's one of those things where, especially in this type of business, where you're working with people and working with people in their most vulnerable state and transformations, that there are different evolutions of yourself through working with people like that in that space. And you start to come up with new ideas, and it's just, I don't know, it's exciting to.
And you evolve through it.
Exactly. Yes. It's all fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Fun. Sometimes, a lot of fun. You get a lot of joy out of it. But sometimes you get also in this space of, oh, my God, what just happened? I'm going through another level up, you know, it's, and that's a readjustment again. And it's, sometimes you go a little bit down.
Yep.
There's this steep curve where you go up again and you get so
it's
many
that roller coaster
learning. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh man.
For people like you and me, it's even more intense because we are so strongly connected to all the channels that we have coming through that it's just, whoa, sometimes you just bang, there's another piece.
We have to like tell each other when we need to slow down a minute, like, because you get all these downloads that your body can't possibly contain all of that energy at once, and after a while you have to come down from the clouds and root into the earth for a bit because you're not sleeping from the excitement. You're getting woken up in the middle of the night getting information on how to help people, how to serve people, how to serve yourself so you can serve people. And then, you know, being two of us, we feed off each other, and it's like this constant, like, what's the word, undulation of of just receiving and putting out and receiving and putting out. And sometimes
amidst the personal growth that goes into it and our own individual unfoldment as sovereign beings together in this. And it's a very interesting flow the way that works. But, you know, we do our best to embrace every moment, even though things we've have broken down into tears. And I mean, it's been
faced fear head on, you know, walked right into that darkness to clear it.
But anyways. Yeah, it's it's a wild journey.
It is. But you know what? That's why we're doing it, right?
It is. Exactly.
Sometimes I don't know why, but you know.
I so understand that. But you know, you never get bored. That's always a good thing.
That's for sure. Boredom has not been in our vocabulary for a very long time. There's no such thing as boredom anymore.
Every day is a new day and you don't know what it's going to bring, but it's sure to bring something. It's just a matter of what. And it's, I think it's a matter of opening yourself up into the unknown and just letting yourself go into that. And I think that's been a challenge for myself in some areas, but every day, just it's a try to embrace it with a new frame of mind and just a new light.
Openness.
Yeah.
Openness.
So.
Yeah. So how do you keep that momentum going?
Rest.
Rest. Lots of rest.
Knowing when to honor rest. That was a huge challenge for us in the beginning because, you know, we live in a culture that's very focused on achievement and status and recognition. And so if you're resting, you're quote unquote lazy, you're not doing enough. And I think that's been one of our hardest masks to pull off and burn in the fire is believing that we are not believing that we are lazy and useless and worthless when we're resting. I learned that on a very deep level when I got pregnant because I got so sick in the first trimester with nausea that I didn't leave the couch for a month and a half. And my mental capacity was so burnt that I was just like, well, I'm nothing right now, but obviously I was everything. I was working so hard. My body was working so hard to grow life. And here I am, you know, bogged down on myself about not getting enough work done. And it's like, we had to learn how to honor that rest, how to take a break, how to really slow down and just, instead of getting caught in this trap of the hustle bustle life, like, oh, you have to work hard to make this happen. We started to figure out that's actually just a belief. That's a belief that we can challenge. And so we've incorporated rest a lot now, even when our logical mind or rational mind might say that it's counterintuitive. If our soul is telling us you need a break, you need to slow down, you need to rest, this is how you can do it, then we listen. No questions asked. And it always works out for the best. We're able to show up with more enthusiasm and excitement for the parts that do require that, and we don't have to show up for as long because we have gathered ourselves.
And it's just the deeper layers of conditioning that we've all endured and trying to really get down to the root of where all of that is coming from. And that can be tough at times because it's really deeply seated in the subconscious. And back to what Sarah was saying a little bit, it's really the mantra of working smarter and not harder, and really keeping that focus. In times like right now where we're trying to launch this event and going through all of that, sometimes, you know, there's been very late nights for myself, 12, 1 o'clock, and of just working to try to get things up. But overall, from a, I guess, an everyday perspective outside of a launch of something, it's very much
balance
and a little bit more intentional than it was before. I would definitely say that, speaking for myself, that I've had workaholic tendencies in the past of wanting to achieve and do rather than to be and really settle in to my center. And that's an everyday discovery for myself, and I'm still learning to find that center and really just hone in on that even more. So it's an everyday unfoldment, and it's something that I embrace. But I think the awareness of it, just like anything else, is the most important. Having the awareness that you're possibly blocked in one area, or you could maybe be a little bit better in a sense, than just knowing that, I think is so important. And then taking inspired action to be able to get to that place that you want to be within yourself.
Exactly. And well,
I was just going to say that Mark Nepo, who we just interviewed on our Soulvolution event, he was talking about feeling blocked, like creative blocks, just life blockage. And he's like, that means you're just not present. And so if you're not present, that means you're moving too quickly to engage fully. So if you're moving too quickly to engage fully, you have to take that step back to be present, because as soon as you are fully engaged with what it is you're doing or creating, you're engaged in your beingness, then it just births itself from you without even having to force it.
And what was his expression of the 10,000 hands?
Oh, that was a different metaphor.
Yeah, but it was still this idea of that. We have our to-do list, right? And we
have... No, that was something else.
Was that something else?
Yeah. You guys, I'm confused. You got to watch the event for it to get Mark Nepo's wisdom there.
I mean, there's so much coming at you when you run something like that, that you're just mixing things up in the end as well, because
there's
beautiful messages in there. Yeah, absolutely. So from what I understand, I mean, what I love about you two is that you have this great dynamic happening, because you're both working together on similarities, yet you bring your own energy into it. But it's such a beautiful, harmonious relationship that comes to life. And it really helps to, and I'm getting the chills when I'm sort of thinking back of some of the videos I've watched of you guys. It's just so wonderful to see that, because, and in particular, without sounding sexist here, from a male perspective, you know, to be in this space, because often us as females, we're very much in tune with all this spiritual stuff and channeling, and because it's such a feminine way of doing things. Yet the masculine side is something that we learn as well. And to see that from you, Christopher, is just amazing. To see how you balance those two really nicely, because that's how, I don't know how it feels for you personally, but when I listen to you guys, you have this beautiful harmony happening between the masculine and the feminine, but both individually you balance it really nicely as well. So I'm curious to find out, how did you learn that? Have you learned it? Is it something that you do consciously, or is it something you do, it just happens?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for calling that out and sharing your observation with us, because that's really interesting to hear from someone who's observing what's happening there, because we feel that flow state together, and sometimes you don't know if that's always perceived or perceivable, what we feel internally, and it is apparently. Because you're not the only person who's commented on that flow state together. And I don't know if he's going to have a different answer than me, But I never remember a single point where we said, okay, let's work on this balance together. It just, we actually got thrown into it. Because when we met, we were so out of balance individually that when we met and we had that higher calling to come into our own balance and to know who we were, at least to commit to the journey of the unfolding of knowing who we were, mm-hmm. that it was just like all chaos ensued. Everything we ever knew to be true was destroyed. All our beliefs started falling away. I mean, it happened so quick that we questioned our sanity multiple times along the beginning of our path. And we noticed it was probably a year in, I'm just guessing time, that we noticed that I would experience some kind of shifting and breakthrough. And then shortly following, maybe a couple weeks, he would experience a shift and a breakthrough that would complement my shift and breakthrough. And we weren't seeking it. And then suddenly he would experience another thing that would once again challenge his beliefs, push him into fear, so that he could come right out through it. And then I would, a couple weeks later, an opportunity would present itself where the same thing would happen. So what was happening is we were pulling each other in and out, and we were just coming in and out together. And it started to go from this, which you can't see my hands, but, you know, a huge disparity, to slowly, slowly, slowly come together. And we're still balancing. Like, we're still, there's still things within our individual lives that we are balancing, but we don't have to make it happen because it's just naturally falling into that place. And that's what's been so eye-opening for me, is that we've just surrendered into the experience. And through that surrender is where that masculine and feminine energy within us and together has started to work for itself without our conscious mind or our human perception having to really do anything about it at all, except show up when the opportunities show up and work through it. That's what it's required from our human aspect.
And I can't agree more with that. And the interesting thing is, and I'll be completely straightforward and vulnerable about my perception of how this has happened and also what I've gone through personally with this. And you had mentioned before in the beginning about how being a male in this space of this personal development space, that's a very much female oriented. I mean, most of our clients, mm-hmm. I would say 80% of our following is female, ages 25 to 45. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make me feel uncomfortable. I actually feel very comfortable in that space. The interesting fact about all of this is that through this and through this experience with Sarah and through this business and everything that we've done, it's actually been more of this opening into more of a masculine power that I'm still fine tuning, that I can hold space in that feminine energy, but there's this part of this seed that I can feel within myself that is still, it's waking up day by day by day. And I notice when I try to force that opening into that, it starts to diminish and I get too in my head and not enough in my heart. And every day, and this is the balance that Sarah was talking about, it's these crazy shifts, and then it starts to balance out a little bit more and more. And then at that point, it's the continuous surrender and opening to whatever that energy is. I don't feel like we've even come pretty close of even reaching our full potential together and individually, steeped in that divine feminine, divine masculine power of what that potential could be.
The sacred union.
And that's a constant ebb and flow as we go through our own personal realizations, as we go through our own shifts and balance as individuals, you start to see more and more of it. And it's one of those things that you just can't rush. Mm-hmm. But to really piggyback off what Sarah said, all of this has to do with just surrender and opening. It's not forceful. It's not trying to be in control, because I've been in that space too many times, and it just, you can't control the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I hope that made sense.
I don't know.
Definitely. Wow, fascinating.
Because it doesn't make sense to us sometimes. We're just like, what is happening in our lives?
And sometimes you feel really alone in the journey. And the one difficult thing I think I've had to deal with as a man in this space is connecting with my intuition, connecting with myself. That's not foreign. That is an everyday thing. Mm-hmm. It's connecting with other males that, in this society that we have, this patriarchal society that's based on competition, that's based on everything that we've lived for so long, it's hard to find other males that are on this journey. And so a lot of times I feel completely alone in this. And I know there's other males out there.
Well, and even females who are dominated by that wounded masculine within themselves as well.
Exactly. So there's a lot of females that are out of balance and are very much expressed as that really powerful and dominant masculine energy. But it's hard to find males with that soft edge and to connect with other males that have that soft edge. And not to say that they're not out there, but I think that's been a really difficult thing for myself, and just kind of feeling a little bit alone in some areas.
Yeah, and it's completely understandable as well, because even, you know, I'm 100% convinced that there are so many other males out there that are experiencing exactly the same thing. It's just really difficult for them to reach out and to actually talk about it, you know, because it might be seen as, oh, well, you're such a softie, you know, whereas it's not, because it's actually more powerful to acknowledge that they do experience all these things as well. And yeah, it's been fascinating, because I have been talking to a lot of other males as well in this space. And it's really wonderful to see the ones that do acknowledge it, and you actually ask the questions, that they actually open up and they're becoming more comfortable with that, what they are experiencing. And it's easier then for them as well to give it a place. Because a lot of males have been grown up into, and especially here in Australia, they're growing up with the idea that they have to be tough. You know, and it's so ego driven that they have no idea of, wow, I actually can look inward to see what's going on there, and allowing themselves to do that.
And well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. So yeah, and that's why I want to explore that more, because like you, probably about 90% of my clients are female as well, and the audience that I have. But I've seen in the last 6 months that I'm also getting more male clients now. And some of them say, oh, wow, I'm so skeptical towards all of that. But they're really curious. And that curiosity you can feel, because they're not really knowing, what questions do I ask around this? How do I explore this? And is it safe to do that? You know, they're really protecting themselves. You can feel those walls just coming up left, right, and center. Yeah,
I would definitely say the male clients that I have worked with in a one-on-one capacity had the most walls towards me. It was like I had to prove myself to them that I was someone trustworthy enough for them to open up. And that, I don't think they were doing it intentionally. I think it was just so much programming that it was just, I had to take a chisel and just keep hammering away wall after wall after wall. And I definitely would have to take a different approach to the male clients that I've worked with versus my female clients. A little bit more rough around the edges, a little bit more sassy, a little bit more like, you know, kind of tough love type approach. And I've only had a few one-on-one male clients. The rest have been female, but it's interesting. It's definitely interesting to see. And not every male is the same. Not every female is the same. No. We know that, but from my personal experience, that's been interesting.
Well, and I think also a lot of what's taken place outside of the programming and conditioning is that, because of the programming and conditioning, I should say, the older generations, the fathers of these young men that might be coming to you, never got a proper initiation into manhood. They were told all of what a man should be. And a lot of this was just completely false identity of what a true embodied masculine presence really is. And without that without that initiation from a father figure or an elder, you know, you look back into ancient cultures, you look back into Native American cultures here in the United States, possibly in Australia with the Aborigines. And a lot of this was very much community driven. Mm-hmm. And the boys were initiated into manhood in a way that wasn't this competitiveness, this violence. It was more of this, just this embodiment of this strong yet grounded presence. And a lot of us, including myself, have missed out on that. And so we're trying to figure this out along the way and trying to find tools and ways to just be steeped deeper into this more grounded and embodied presence.
Yeah, that's beautifully said. And I also think that for females as well, that because we have such experiences in terms of what society is expecting, that females are struggling with this as well, just as much, you know, because some females that I've encountered, they are actually too masculine and they need to learn how to tap into their femininity, you know, at the same time. So, because that masculinity could potentially block the energy flow that they have for themselves. So, which has also been quite an observation in the last couple of years too. Coming out of the corporate world, I've worked in the corporate world for over 20 years. I've had to struggle with that too. Because it was very, especially the financial world, it's very male driven, high egos. So to then even experiencing this transition from, you know, the social expectations to then having all these other things coming through and the channels and spirits and all this sort of stuff, that was a complete mismatch. And a huge struggle point. And I had to overanalyze everything. And for that to come through, it was like, how do I work with this? How can I even apply this in the environment that I'm in? That was huge. And that became a massive block in the end as well. So I've had to learn to really refocus and to understand that the corporate world is a completely different entity. Mm-hmm. And I can still show up as me, utilizing all the other skills that I'm learning. To become more gentle in that process as well.
Man, what a transformation that required of you too, to be able to say, I'm not going to continue with the way that the rest of the world tells me I should be, to be successful in the way that they define it. And I'm going to embrace who I am authentically through that process and see what happens. Like, that takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for acknowledging that. And you know, sometimes it still crops up. It's a lot easier to deal with, you know what I mean? And but then it crops up because there is some underlying trauma or blockages that I haven't dealt with yet. It's this residue, right? And sometimes it just crops up again. And then it's like, okay, what is that? What does it mean right now? Do I need to use this right now? Can I just let it go? You know, what do I need to learn from it? And that's also something I had to learn over the years too, to be able to look at that and to just ask it, you know, what are you meaning right now? What is it that you're here to do? And letting that stuff go, you know? So, but I think that's wonderful too, that we do learn these abilities and we're allowing that process to actually sit with us in that groundedness, in that present moment, and allowing it all to come through and then work with it and then let it go.
Yeah.
It helps us as well to become more one with that core essence of ourselves and then allowing that flow to happen so that we can truly be who we are.
You said it best.
And I think it's really important. And I'm so glad that you shared that, because again, it comes down to the awareness of what's happening and being able to move through that instead of around it and run away from it. Because the more you run away, the more it's going to, that darkness is going to grow more and more. It's, you know, we, Sarah especially, is very much involved in working with the shadow and doing a lot of shadow work. And that is some of the most important work, to really look at all parts of ourselves and to move through that energy. And I think to second part that too, it's really important that we look at our attachments. What beliefs, what values, what different things have we been attached to our entire lives because of the conditioning, because of the programming, and then being able to really look at those from a high level overview and being able to let go when we need to. And I think that's been one of the most difficult things for myself, and probably one of the hardest lessons to learn, is to look at where I'm attached to, what ideas I'm attached to, and then be able to realize whether that serves me or it doesn't anymore. And this conditioning goes deep. You know, there's always more layers. There's always more discoveries. It's once you reach one layer, you know, there's always another. And it's
until there isn't anymore.
Until there isn't anymore. And then there's another one.
Maybe, but maybe not.
So,
or at least one of a different kind.
One of a different kind, exactly. Yeah. So it's an interesting process, but the way I look at this entire journey is it can be terrifying. It can be exhilarating. It could be name the emotion, but I would choose this over
complacency,
over ignorance, over just being completely comfortable in my little bubble, because I've been there before.
Yeah.
And it's just embracing life in this human experience, because this is really such a unique experience that I think we take for granted a lot, and we want to get back to oneness. We want to get back to source, and it sounds wonderful. And, you know,
but we're here.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to recognize that and to live in that, and through that process, to be very gentle on yourself. And I think a lot of times through a lot of this inner work, we tend to become extremely judgmental, especially towards ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I've been in this space so many times where I've just really recognized some of the harsh criticism, some of the self-punishment, the self-hatred that I've gone through at certain periods in my life, and realized that that just doesn't serve me anymore. And it's practicing metta, the loving kindness of, hey, you know what? I've made some mistakes. I've said some things I regret, but I'm human, but I'm owning it. I'm taking responsibility for it. And I'm being kind to myself now, rather than punishing myself for what I said or what I possibly did, and that sort of thing.
Mm. Absolutely. And, you know, so many people have that struggle around that, you know, because also that punishment, even though it sounds really horrible, we often feel that that's a comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know any better.
Mm.
And I think also from my parents, we don't really learn how to do that differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like a cycle almost.
Mm-hmm.
We keep doing it and keep doing it until you have this massive, you know, experience or wake up call, that some people call it as well, that pushes you to actually think outside of that, to actually say, hey, you know, love yourself first, be kind to yourself first. It's an experience that we learn from. And once you start seeing it as that, it is a lot easier to get out of that process too. And then it doesn't come back anymore. So yeah, wonderful. God, I love this.
These are the types of conversations we like to just have sitting around teapot and
exactly.
Just go, and the clock eventually, like hours pass, and you're like, oh goodness, we've stepped in a time portal.
for sure.
But this is the type of stuff that, you know, just to add one last thing, this is the type of stuff that we really need to be teaching our children, and teaching how to navigate the inner landscapes of themselves. Because, you know, we teach all of the history and the math and all of the other subjects in school, fine. But really what's so important is to harness and to, especially this is so apparent right now with just having a child who's only 4 months old, but nurturing their authenticity and their creativity. And so much we wonder why we have so many problems with our children, but they call them problems. Our children aren't the problems, it's the systems that are the problems. And we need to really teach children how to nurture their feelings, how to really stay in tune with their soul's presence and not lose that. And I think if we were to do that, what we would see as a society overall is a society that's thriving, that's more conscious, more connected, and just, I mean,
emotionally intelligent.
The possibilities are endless. Mm-hmm. And this is something I've become even more passionate about, like I said, since we've had a child. So I don't know. I'm very optimistic of what the future holds for humanity, but, and I don't even know why I brought this up. It just needed to come out. But I think this is something that we really need to start having conversations around. And I know there's systems in place. There's certain schools that are now in place that they're teaching these sorts of things, but this is something that we really need to continue on and to build upon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Couldn't have said it better. That's wonderful. Is there anything that you would wish to share with the audience, perhaps to get a bit of a taste of what it would be like to work with you two?
Chris and I like to say that we are the shit stirrers of our community, online and in person. I'm sure sometimes we leave family gatherings or social events and there might be a few people talking about us when we leave, you know, because we don't necessarily go in intentionally to stir the pot, but we live by our values. And as soon as we are not living by our values, we recognize it and we do the work to realign with the values. And sometimes that means reassessing our values. And that is the core of what we do with our clients, whether they're working with us in a digital capacity or directly one-on-one or in group, is we constantly challenge your why. Why are you doing the things you do, and does it serve you or is it serving someone else? Because if it's serving someone else, then it's not you. And if it's not you, you're not fulfilled. And if you're not fulfilled, it's your responsibility to change the things around you to match what is in alignment with you, so you will feel the fulfillment you yearn for. So,
and it's really bridging the heaven and the earth and bringing also this edge, but gentleness mm-hmm. to the, you know, and it really comes down to questioning and
challenging.
And that's really what we're here to do, is to help bring some of that up, to help challenge, you know, some of those hard beliefs or values that you might have, and to come in
labels,
in alignment with who you really are, who is under all of those masks, who is under all of the bullshit, all of the conditioning that you've endured over the years. Who is under that? Because who is under that is a vibrant soul that is ready to share his or her message with the world, to share purpose, passion. There is just the possibility that we all have as conscious beings and conscious creators to create a world that's in alignment with our true heart's desire, and then serve the world from that place is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what it comes down to. It's just getting rid of all of that and coming into alignment with the true self.
Because that's your full potential, and your full potential isn't something in the future waiting to be found through your idea of success. Your full potential is what already lies within you that's yearning to emerge. It's about allowing it to emerge. We have to allow it to emerge, and we have to let go of the things that are not allowing it the potential to emerge. And so sometimes, you know, Chris and I, we don't necessarily subscribe to the spiritual fluff, meaning the positive thinking and sweeping things under the rug and the spiritual bypassing that can often happen in this community. We fully believe in using your darkness to your advantage, because your greatest teacher is in the shadows, and it is waiting to be integrated fully so that you become you reawaken to your wholeness instead of fragmenting yourself more on the path, trying to reach this point of enlightenment or this, you know, meditation on a mountaintop floating in the air status. You know, that doesn't, if that's what someone desires, that doesn't come from running or pretending something doesn't exist or just replacing it with a happy, positive thought. It comes from getting into the deepest parts of the cave and doing it without a flashlight, doing it without, you know, protection by any means. You are raw and vulnerable and in it. So Chris and I will take people there, and it can be scary. And if it's not scary, then you're probably not getting deep enough, because we've gathered a lot of shit throughout this lifetime, and it's a little scary to let that go. So Chris and I, if it's one thing that we've learned through our personal experience of having to go through our own darkness to emerge into our light and continue that process as it unfolds, is to challenge but be kind, you know, rattle the cage, but also provide a helping hand. It's, we know when to be rough around the edges, but also when someone needs a hug and some encouragement, because it's the duality of it that exists perfectly together. But we're not always cozy, and we'll challenge people in our YouTube videos. We bring up points that people might get offended by sometimes, and that's good, because we want, if someone's feeling, I don't want to use the word triggered, but I'm going to use the word triggered because I don't know what else to use in place of it. But I realize that it's not totally appropriate to use that word there. But if someone's feeling upset by something, a perspective that we share, I like to challenge them to look deeper within as to why they're feeling that way. Because usually that means something cozy is being challenged. And that means something might break down that might be better for you to break down. So yeah, we do go in there a little bit and you know, push things around and get a little crazy. But we do it with love, because we do the same thing to ourselves. We do it to each other. We do it to our parents. They probably get exhausted after a while spending time with us, but we like to bring that energy to any capacity in which we work with people.
Beautiful.
It's just the journey of authentic self-discovery. Mm-hmm. It's really what it comes down to. People that are open-minded, that are looking for more in their lives, looking for deeper meaning, and really want to just explore themselves on a deeper level.
And have fun with it.
And have a good time with it.
Being able to laugh at your darkness or with it. Being able to, I always told my, one of the things that sticks out to me that I tell I used to group coach this positive outlook group coaching. We've shifted the name of this group into something else, but I always used to say to them, because it was about finding true, genuine happiness, genuine joy, where you don't just skirt around the darkness, but you actually walk through it first. And I told them that when you are in the middle of your darkest storm or a dark storm and can smile and feel joy at the same time, that is freedom. And that is enlightenment to me, because that's the paradox of being a spiritual being in a human experience, is there will be darkness and light that can coexist. Mm-hmm. Darkness doesn't have to consume us. We can be laughing and having a jolly old time even when the rain and lightning is falling down around us. Yeah. And so that comes with a certain element of, one, curiosity about life, and finding humor in the craziest things that happen to us, because it doesn't mean you're negating the experience. It doesn't mean that you're excusing anything or pretending that's not happening. You're just able to see from a higher perspective that some of this is kind of funny, the way all has to happen to work out, and that all things do work together for the good. And when you can see that, it is funny in a very twisted way. It can be humorous. And so that's we like to try to help people bring themselves into that space as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. And I've also seen on your website that you are launching Soulvolution from the 2nd to the 5th of February. So tell a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so Soulvolution 2020 is an event that we put together with 16 personal development experts and spiritual teachers who are all really helping people on their path of self-discovery, supporting their growth, healing, transformation, evolution, and bringing really a lot of the things that we hear in self-help books and spiritual texts, really just bringing this information down to earth into practical, actionable steps that people can take to really start to enrich their lives. And so we, again, taking that approach of bringing heaven down to earth, we wanted to bring people on that, one, have been on our podcast that we trust and really like, and two, other people that we followed and people that have really inspired us along our journey. And so this event was just a culmination of a lot of different things, and we're really excited about this. And even if people are listening to this after the fifth, after the whole event ends, they can still go to the website and check out the event and opt in to get some of the interviews and all of that. So it's going to be really exciting. I'm really looking forward to launching this. It's been a lot of work, but it's going to be, I think, really, really, it's going to go over really well with people because they're going to get a lot out of it.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to listening and yeah, learning and being inspired as well by other people, because it's always wonderful to learn from others in that space as well, and to find new people that are doing similar work and helping humanity. That's really amazing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I really, really enjoyed having this conversation with you. I honor your authenticity, your vulnerability, and I thank you so much for doing the important work that you do in the world. It adds enormous value. And you are an inspiration to many of us. So thank you so much.
And thank you for everything you do. We're all part of this collective puzzle, and we're all just as important. And our uniqueness is just bringing that uniqueness out into the world is so, so important for the evolution of humanity. So thank you for everything you're doing as well. And just, yeah, had a great time.
Wonderful talking.
Really enjoyed this.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to yet another inspiring, high vibration episode of Connecting Soul Beings podcast. I truly love receiving your comments, stories, and feedback. Keep connecting, as they are truly inspiring. The easiest way to connect with me is via my website, www.biancaderose.com. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn under Bianca De Rose. If you love our community and this podcast, you can help us by sharing and liking the show via Pippa, YouTube, iTunes, and the website. And if you feel that Connecting Soul Beings and myself can help you connect to yourself and the animals, then hop on over to www.biancaderose.com and find out how we can truly connect and help you along. Thank you again so much. Stay connected with love and grace.